I'm going to call this meeting of the UIL State Executive Committee to order at this time. We do have a quorum present. We have an agenda before us. We will be abiding by the University Interscholastic League Constitution and Contest Rules. And I need a motion to approve minutes from May 18th of 23 and May 23rd of 23. Do I hear a motion?
So moved.
All right, Mr. Colbert, do I hear a second? Dr. Colwell, all in favor, please raise your right hand. That is unanimous. Thank you. Caroline, do we have the folks that we need to get started?
Yes, sir. I believe we have everybody we need in the waiting room.
All right. Can you bring those folks in for us?
Happy to do so. Okay, Chair, this was everybody we had in our waiting room.
Very good. We're going to do a little check of the audio and do some introductions while we're doing that. So we're making sure we're in good shape. I see Mr. Tiger Hanner.
Good morning, sir.
All right, thank you. And then we have, it's titled Dr. Rob Fields.
Yes, sir.
We have in that room.
We have Coach Corrales, Treva Corrales, our executive director, Mr. Mendoza, the principal of Judson, Mark Soto, our athletic coordinator, and we also have Mr. Guidry, who is our assistant superintendent.
And you are?
I am Dr. Fields, superintendent of Judson ISD.
All right. Thank you so much.
Yes, sir.
And then do I see we have Mr. Walsh? All right, we'll get back to Mr. Walsh in a minute. We have Toya Hopkins. Toya? Need to unmute, please.
Are you able to hear me?
Yes, thank okay. you. And what is your role?
I'm the mother of Henry Harris.
Oh, okay, thank you.
Yes, sir.
And then we have one that's just a phone number, ends in a 519. Who do we have there?
Dr. Cardona, Stan Marcus.
Thank you, Dr. Cardona. All right. And then we're trying to get Mr. Walsh on. Dr. Cardona, do you know anything about his situation? He's shows him, but we're not hearing him.
Yes, sir. Our IT department blocked our Zoom, so he's having to call in, so he's trying to log on right now.
Okay. Yeah, we had some login problems ourselves. We're going to wait momentarily to get him logged in, and then we're going to get everybody sworn in. See what let's do. We got somebody else connecting here. Hang on. We got Brittany Dominguez.
Dominique.
Would you unmute, please?
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you. All right, we're still lacking Mr. Walsh, but we're gonna go ahead and get started. And Caroline's gonna swear you folks in. Make sure you're unmuted, please, all of you. And Caroline will get you sworn in.
Raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you will present is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
I do.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. All right. We're going to move forward then with hearing AA, San Antonio Judson ISD, request for consideration of penalties, Section 51C, school district personnel, Mark Soto. Mr. Beasley?
On January 3rd, 2023, San Marcos CISD submitted a formal complaint alleging violations of Section 21D and Section 33A4 by Judson High School head football coach and UIL District 2768 football designated administrator for Judson ISD, Mark Soto.
All right, thank you. Here's the process we're going to go through today. And as soon as Mr. Walsh gets on, I would ask him to speak up so that we can get him sworn in. First of all, this hearing is a result of some DEC hearings last year that resulted in some sanctions at San Marcos ISD. And today we're focusing on a member of that district executive committee and his role and actions last year as brought by San Marcos. And our agenda is, let's remember this, it's about Mark Soto. It's not about rehearing cases from last year at the SEC level. What we're going to do as far as our process is, I'm going to talk a little bit about San Marcos, and we're going to ask San Marcos to affirm and make sure we understand their issues. And then we're going to go to Coach Soto. So that's our process. Mr. Walsh, I see you now.
Yes, sir.
Would you please raise your right hand and let Caroline swear you in?
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you will present is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
All right. And Dr. Cardona, this is really directed at you to start with here and then give you the opportunity to reflect on some of these things I'm going to mention. The issues that you have brought forth, and listen, I have, and I know other members have spent a lot of time studying through all this information. And I've boiled it down in my book to about four different things. And I want to see if that tracks with what you're wanting to do here today and what you're asking about. Number one issue was that Mr. Soto marked yes on recruiting for athletic purposes in what you call in bad faith with what you consider to be insufficient evidence. You agree with that statement?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And then there was the text that Mr. Soto sent out, please find a parent that will give testimony that they were approached by a San Marcos coach to play these. You call that unethical, and that he completed the previous athletic participation forms on those assumptions, correct?
Please continue to try and find a parent. There's a difference than...
Yeah. All right. Thank you. Yeah. I accept that. My apologies. Next one, that there was evidence manufactured, coerced a Judson ISD employee to submit false statement and place San Marcos football staff in a false light, left the impression that this employee wrote the letter, but it was drafted by Mr. Soto.
That's not my allegation. My allegation is it was never investigated by Coach Soto or any other member.
Thank you. That's the reason I'm asking these questions. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
And then finally, the last one that I saw, and you can add what you need to, recruitment conversation with, I believe, a 14-year-old student without his parents present about keeping the team together. Is that an accurate statement?
100%, yes, sir.
Okay. All right, what else?
Well, I mean, I think from previous meetings, I think we have a set of rules that we're trying to enforce. And we had a coach who the district disciplined for a year. And then we had SEC intervene and added an additional year because that said coach spoke with a parent, you know, of a student in another district and was sanctioned severely for that conversation. And here we have a situation where in state documents that were retrieved, Coach Soto does indeed admit that he did have a conversation in May of 2022. And during a district executive committee meeting on August 24th, 2022, a principal who is now the DEP chair, Mr. Smith, in his handwritten notes, wrote that indeed Coach Soto did talk to this student about moving that team, the Seminoles, to Judson. And so as superintendent, we were punished for kids moving for athletic purposes. And as such, I believe that all parties should be held accountable for inappropriate behaviors.
Okay. All right. Appreciate that. Anything else before we go to Coach Soto?
No, I mean, I just want the record to show that this is information. This is not San Marcos CISD information. This was information that was gathered via an open records request of those districts. And you have the information in front of you that shows multiple coaches and athletic directors having offline conversations, which we know is a violation of the law, the Texas Open Meetings Act. And they are taking action that I know you didn't want us to go back. I'm not asking to rehear anything, but as a point of historical record, action was taken by these text messages that involved numerous coaches outside of the 27-6A arena. And I also want it to be known that our head coach did attempt to call that Coach Soto in June when students showed up and never received a courtesy call back. And yet on state documents and on emails obtained, there is consistent mention of illegal recruiting from San Marcos, which was proven to be 100% inaccurate.
All right.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Appreciate it, Dr. Cardona. All right. We're going to then move, as I said we would.
Mr. Chair?
Yeah.
We have someone call in with an 885 number and don't know who that is.
All right. Would that person whose last three digits is 885 please identify yourself? Is either group expecting someone else? No? Okay.
Chairman, might be either Ann Halsey, our board president. It could be our board president. I'm not real sure of her last four numbers.
Well,
it's a 312 area code.
That is Mrs. Halsey, our board president.
All right. So you say she is an invited member here today?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. If there's a need later, we'll get her taken care of as far as getting her sworn in. All right. Who's going to be speaking? And as we know, Mr. Hanner has been at our meetings on several occasions, and he knows that we want to hear from the people who are really involved, and that would be, in this case, Dr. Fields, Coach Soto, and everyone else. There will be a point in time, Mr. Hanner, if you need to say a few words, and all will be welcoming that to happen, okay? Okay, thank you. All right, we've just heard, and I kind of laid it out in a in four statements. And I think this group, what we need to hear today is your response to each of those. And probably most specifically, after you've dealt with the other issues, you deal with the recruitment discussion. That seems to be the most burning issue on behalf of San Marcos at this particular time. But let's go up with the marking yes on the recruiting for athletic purposes in bad faith, insufficient evidence, and then the text and the employee, those issues. Please talk us through those things.
Okay. So far in the box that we got where we turned in all of our documentation, there's been, it looks like, two different letters from San Marcos, and a third one came in on the 18th of July. The first one had three allegations, and I'm going to work through those three, and then I'm going to work through the six on the other one, and then we'll talk about the recruitment at the end. Hopefully, okay. I'll go fast enough where it gives you enough information to make your decision. Number one, failure to honestly abide by the responsibilities of chief administrator promptly. Report to the DC any violation of constitutional contest rules. Number one, all the collected evidence was turned in to the DC on 8/23/22, which was the day before the meeting, which was what the deck required. John Walsh did call twice in the summer of 2022, and I returned the call, but he did not answer, and I did not leave a message. Number two, failure to perform his official duties in a lawful, professional, ethical manner, befitting the state of UIL required by the standards of conduct by fabricating and manufacturing evidence. All the evidence came from the internet, via Twitter or the San Marcos website, et cetera. There was one parent-to-parent conversation, one phone conversation with Brittany Dominique, a conversation with William Perkins at Judson High School on track prior to athletics, in which his mom was contacted by the phone. And then there was a conversation with Henry Harris at Judson Middle during the school day. It says here that Ms. Soto made his report in bad faith. I think that was the number one you brought up. Ms. Soto did not have sufficient evidence to corroborate the three players were recruited. All the players were on the same team. Henry and William stated to Soto that the parents wanted to keep their team together. The text message from Stennett stated the coach wanted to keep them together for their freshman year. And on the PAPF on question 18, we simply answered that one. Did the student play on a non-school team and is transferred to a school where members of the non-school team attend? And yes, there was one to three players already at San Marcos. So that team, you know, those kids on the similar team did transfer for those reasons. We checked that box. Team dad was a volunteer at San Marcos High School or an employee, one of the two. And then multiple team members were transferring. Number three, they said San Marcos allegation unduly influenced a Judson employee, Charles Harris, by coercing him to sign a false statement under threat of termination, which was fabricated by Soto in violation of code of ethics. Number one, the first email from Charles Harris was sent from his personal phone at 5:32 on 8/22. Email from our then interim, now our superintendent, Dr. Fields, to Jamie Harrison was noted that he talked and investigated Charles Harris, and Charles stated that Soto did not unduly influence or threaten him. That documentation is in the box that we provided. There's an email from our former JISD Superintendent Ball that Charles Harris never complained about Soto, as stated in the transcription from Brittany Dominique's recording of Charles Harris. And then on July 12th, there's also more documentation. There's a phone recording of Charles Harris calling Soto, explaining that he lied to the parents secret when they were secretly recording him. Charles and his family were getting threats from parents about the email he wrote. While being secretly recorded, he did lie and say Soto threatened to fire him so he could get the parents to stop asking him questions. And then on July 14th, Charles also sent a video via iPhone to Soto, identifying himself with ID, stating Soto did nothing wrong, and he felt threatened by now SM parents from the kids that had transferred from that football team. In a transcription of secret recording of Charles and Brittany Dominique, Charles stated that he would email John Walsh. My question would be, did John ever get that email? Some other stuff that had been said in previous meetings was Soto was a disgruntled employee and he was fabricating evidence. There's letters in the box that state from SAISD AD, NEISD AD, Nebronpol's AD, and Sertz Clemens AD that we were all asking questions. This was something that has never been happened in Texas as far as the magnitude, the number of kids that were transferring at one time from one select football team. So we had a lot of questions, and yes, we do collaborate. That's what coaches do. We all collaborate. So yes, questions were going back and forth, both questions being called into the UIL and referenced back to all of the coaches trying to figure out what was going on. So also, again, stating I was a disgruntled employee, there's letters from NEISD AD, former AD Karen Funk, and Gary Comlander, the principal of San Antonio Johnson, who called in my references to San Marcos prior to me getting the job at San Antonio Johnson, and all references came back magnificent, and they wouldn't have hired me if those references didn't come back that way, along with a letter from the principal Turnbow, who was my principal at San Marcos for a few years, stating that my community and professional reputation were positive and I was not disgruntled, along with an employee that worked with me and Coach Walsh, stating the same thing. Professionalism, character, and positivity were all part of our culture there. Moving on to the next allegations that they had. On 7/18, San Marcos said that I led and engaged in a campaign full of false narratives and falsified documentation that was proven as such against the San Marcos CISD football program. Number one, they said on the SM Picture Day, this is part of my documentation that I turned into the deck. Mark Soto submitted a photo stated the Seminole head coach. This is false. Mark Soto stated, it says it is believed that that picture in the middle is a Seminole head coach. I did not know who that coach was. Number two, they said Soto had a plea text to area coaches and ADs in his smear campaign begging, please continue to try and find a parent that will give testimony. You're right. I did collaborate with coaches. It's standard practice. With so many rumors, we needed to find some proof of what was going on. Number three, Coach Soto's questionnaire to coaches used by Wagner head coach. You're right. That's one of my coaches in our district. JSD, we have three high schools, and he is a young head coach, and he asked for my advice, and I gave him my advice, as I do with collaborating with many, many other coaches around the state, as I'm part of many different things like the Rock Mentor Program, which I was formerly a part of, and growing leaders within our district. So collaboration is key in the coaching world. It says I coerced and fabricated a Charles Harris email. I've already put that in the box as far as two video messages, a phone recorded message, and an email from Superintendent Fields, along with an email from our former Superintendent Ball. That answers that five where the transcription of Charles Harris there, and then text to our Judson High School principal. Again, collaboration with my employee. I am his subordinate. I have to answer to him. So, yes, we have had collaboration as each coach collaborated with their DEC representative. So that's kind of where those all took place. Moving on to your last one that you had, and this is about the conversation that me and Henry Harris had. I did talk to Henry, and we did call his mom, but she didn't answer. It was in the middle of the school day. I did keep the team together because I was talking about our Judson Middle School football team, which combines with our Woodlake Middle School freshman year, which would have been the following year. Judson Middle and Woodlake are both feeder programs for Judson High School. I'm totally in my right to speak to my Judson feeder school athletes, as I do routinely through the year. And most head coaches do go down to their feeder schools and talk to them. Harris does live in the Judson Independent School District. He lives 2.2 miles away from the campus, as proven in the documents put in the box. And that's about where I'm at. And unless you're going to give me some final words, that's my argument to the allegations that San Marcos has.
If I could just add real quick, one of the statements is that we didn't investigate Mr. Harris's statement. I went over and spoke with him personally and asked him, why would he make a statement like that? And he said that apparently it was a game between San Marcos and Judson. and he was on the visitor side. And he said many parents came up and approached him about what was going on. And he said that he felt like the pressure became so intimidating that he felt like he would just say what needed to be said to get him off his back. I said, well, it doesn't look good. And he said, I can tell you that nobody coerced me to do anything. So I looked into it. That was a statement. And he later created a video to support that. And I've repeatedly asked him, hey, man, is there any truth to this? And he said, no, there isn't.
And then just to follow up, just to be really thorough, when I was talking to Henry Harris at Judson Middle School, we were talking about the kids coming together from Woodlake and from Judson Middle. We were not talking about bringing over the Seminole football team. The athletes that we have at Judson Middle and Woodlake Middle are spectacular athletes, and they do a great job playing sports for our school systems. We do not need other kids from other districts to come in and play for Judson High School.
Okay. Members, do you have any questions for Coach Soto at this time? All right. Mr. Hanner, you have anything to say?
Well, only that, you know, this is, without question, the San Marcos situation, an unprecedented recruiting violation, that Mr. Soto is being indicted for using his due diligence to basically turn over every rock to make sure the information they had was accurate, so the district executive committee and then ultimately the state executive committee had accurate information. Mr. Soto went above and beyond to make sure that the information he was receiving was verified and it was turned over. The new allegation about allegedly recruiting by talking to one of his own students, please, I want to make sure it's clear. HH, as is identified in the documentation, yeah, is zoned to Judson High School. And we've given you all of that information. So Coach Soto was talking to one of his own zoned student athletes about coming to Judson High School and keeping those kids together. That is totally within his right as a coach, the high school talking to feeder schools in his pattern. And that is it. All of this, San Marcos simply doesn't want to take responsibility for their actions, and they keep blaming everybody else, trying to punish everybody else. They need to take their punishment and move on, and let these other programs move on with their life. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Tanner. Any questions from committee members for the folks from Judson or at all? All right, Dr. Cardona, you have any final words?
Well, just a couple of clarifications, because collaboration is an interesting word, right? And first of all, let me just state that I wish that our attorney had the privilege of being able to represent the families as Mr. Tiger or whatever.
About what's gone on in the past, Dr. Cardona?
No, I'm talking about right now, sir. I'm talking about right now.
Is that attorney there?
Your attorney, you just let him talk. I don't know.
Is your attorney here now? You said it was about right now and your attorney.
No, we don't have an attorney. We didn't bring one.
Okay. Then we're not talking about the past. So let's move forward.
All right. Well, let me finish my statement, I guess. Is that good?
Yeah, that'd be great.
That'd be great. Well, collaboration is a great word, right? We know that they collaborated. Coach Soto has stated that on multiple occasions. He used the word collaboration a lot. We know that that's a violation of the law, not of UIL rules and regulations. Texas Open Meetings Act is there for a reason, and all coaches, and Coach Soto has demonstrated he's a member of many organizations and many arenas, so he should know full well the Texas Open Meetings Act training, because they're required to go through it every year. Interestingly enough, in all that collaboration, Coach Walsh was never a part of that group. You once again heard somebody mention recruiting. Moving for athletic reasons is very different than recruiting, and I believe the SEC ruled on moving for athletic reasons with their punishment. So I would urge everybody to be educated about what the ruling was. I want to comment on something Dr. Fields said, because I had a 40-minute conversation with Dr. Fields, and I want to thank him for having that conversation with me. He was the interim at the time. Just for the record, because Coach Soto mentioned Mrs. Ball, Dr. Ball, she approached us at our football game against Judson wanting to talk to me. I sat in the stands to make sure that everything was okay. I went down to talk to her. She set up a meeting with me the following Monday after our football game, and then she canceled the meeting after I drove 35 miles to Judson ISD that morning. So Dr. Fields did return my call later on when I filed this complaint out of professional courtesy. I did send it to the athletic director that I was going to be filing this. This is an administrative deal. I left all board members from any district out of it because it's an administrative issue. And I had a great conversation with Dr. Fields. But there is no doubt that this group of ADs and coaches did something they should not have done. And if the internet is the evidence that we're going to use, we already have proven that the wrong black man was identified in a picture by members. I think if we're going to hold adults accountable, and our adults were held accountable, and we accepted the punishment, we did what we needed to do to file our appeals. We accepted the punishment, so I don't appreciate us being categorized as not accepting responsibility. I think everybody needs to be held accountable, especially adults who don't put the interests of children at the forefront. Now, this is what I would state about the state document PAPF form. It's not in, it's not my writing. It is in the document. That Coach Soto was already aware that Hank, the young man, was transferring. He was already made well aware. He made reference to the documentation being turned in on August 23rd, 2022, the day before the DEC meeting, which is 100% accurate, which is also a violation, right? We already know that that didn't meet the five-day rule. If he knew in May that this young man's mom had already made a decision to move him, there would be no reason to have a discussion with this young man. Regardless of what was going to happen, the students were going to be punished at a later date for moving for athletic purposes, which the state has every right to do. However, there's no reason to convince anybody to come and stay at Judson, knowing he was already, his mom had already made a decision. And I would ask this committee to ask the mother and the young man what that conversation was. And as a reminder, my coach was punished a year by us, and the state punished an additional year for having a conversation with a mother.
Okay.
So, you know, we have a lot of stuff that happened in this meeting, and it's verified by a fellow principal. It's not the internet.
My reaction, very simply, and I'm not going to speak for all the members of the committee. We'll let them speak for themselves momentarily. But this was a kid who was, he may have made discussion about the fact that he was going to make a change, but he was still potentially someone that would be at Judson. And if I'm a coach and I'm out there trying to keep my program together and do the things that I need to do, and I look up and I've got kids leaving, yeah, I'm going to approach them. I am going to approach them. I would be remiss in not approaching those kids. And he had every right to do that because he was a student there. So that piece for me is just as plain as it can be. Anything else before we make any decisions here? Coach Walsh, you've been raising your hand. What do you need?
I think the I agree with you 100%. Your last statement. I think what alarms me is Henry's statement on, can you get your mom to get reach out to the other criminals?
Say that again, please.
Like I think we need to listen to Henry's mom, because she can kind of give the conversation that Henry came home to asking her after that conversation with Soto.
Okay. Henry's mom, you on here?
I am.
All right. There's been discussion about that particular conversation that went on between Coach Soto and your son.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, would you like to make a comment on it?
I will. As you stated, it does make sense for a higher level coach to go to a feeder school to talk to
sure.
their students. Fine, dandy, whatever. But my thing is the fact that if you want to go speak to him about coming over to Judson when you already knew that he wasn't going to be coming to Judson, that's fine to try to reconvince him. It was already a no. I didn't want him at Judson for my own particular reasons. But for him to give Hank information to pass along to me, and I keep saying Hank, that's his nickname. It's Henry. Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
For him to give information, if it was quote unquote keeping the boys together as far as the Woodlake Middle School and Judson Middle School and any other middle school that's in Judson's district, speaking to a teenager, I would think that you would make that point particular versus if you stated see if you can speak to your mom about speaking to the other Seminoles parents. If it was just about Woodlake Middle School and Judson Middle School staying together as one team, okay. what would I speak to Seminoles parents for if all okay. of their kids were at other middle schools?
All right.
Even back in August, there was August when I guess workouts or training were starting, there was a Coach Williams that called me to let me know that football training had already started. And I laughed it off and I was like, y'all already know he's not coming to Judson. And as he was hanging up the phone, whoever it was he was talking to, I don't know if it was Mark, I don't know if it was another coach, as he was hanging up, he specifically said he's still going to San Marcos. So okay. I have my own reasons of why he didn't go to Judson. And everyone can settle on it was for athletic purposes. Not true. He, regardless of where he went to school, he was going to play football. That's what he's been doing since he was four. But my thing is, if Mark Soto was dead set on, I spoke to him about keeping Woodlake boys and Judson Middle School boys together. I don't know what the need of the, see if your mom can speak to the other Seminoles parents about keeping y'all together.
Okay, thank you. Appreciate it. Coach Soto, your final discussion on the on that comment, for clarity purposes, are you telling us that when you spoke, you were speaking about, as you said earlier, about keeping those two middle school groups together to go to high school? Do you remember your exact words?
I did not remember my exact words, but I do remember I did not say, talk to your mother about keeping the Seminoles together. That did not come out of my mouth.
All right. Very good. Mr. Colbert.
Hold on, sir. Dr. Fields wanted to say something.
I can wait.
Let me get Mr. Colbert, and then we'll get back sure. to
Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I actually have a question for Dr. Fields.
There you go.
I'm curious to know, you mentioned that you had an opportunity to speak to Charles Harris about the initial statement that he gave to the people saying that he was coerced by Coach Soto. My question to you is, which one of his stories are you convinced of? The one that he told you where he felt like he was under pressure, or do you think he was being honest the first time?
I can tell you that it's interesting you asked that. When I went over to speak to Mr. Harris, I asked him to come over to the stadium. I immediately said, let's take a walk. And I removed him from the environment of everybody there and walked with him alone. And I asked him, I said, you got to be honest. If someone in the district is threatening your employment, if you don't do something, we can't have it. We can't have people in our district feeling like they have to compromise their integrity or do something that they shouldn't be doing for fear of losing their position. I can assure you, you're not going to lose your job because of anything going on right now. But I find it odd that you would say that in a conversation where you didn't know you were being recorded. And then now you're saying that that wasn't the truth. What's going on? And he said, it was intimidating. There were several parents coming up, making me feel guilty about what was going on. And I felt like I had to say that to get them off me. And I think the term he used was, and to get them out of my phone. I guess they were texting him as well. And he said that there was a little fear for his family. I said, well, it just seems odd that you're recanting now. He said, Dr. Fields, I can assure you, Coach Soto never told me I was going to lose my job if I said or did anything. So I would say that the second conversation that I had with him would be the one that I would believe, only because it was just he and I, separate from everybody else. And I asked him to be candid and honest with me at the time. And now he's sending videos to support that statement. Repeat it.
Well, you understand how confused the committee is that we would get one version.
Yes.
And then we would get Coach Soto. I've listened to the audio of Coach Soto calling him and asking him to give the real version. I'll put that in quotes.
Yes.
And so there's just a conflict. And to be clear, Chair, you know, this is Charles Harris is at the root of all of this. You know, depending on which version of that we believe, it activates or deactivates some of the other accusations being made,
yes, sir,
in my opinion. And so really to the committee members, we have to sort through, in my opinion, which version of that we believe, and it dictates how we perceive the other accusations. I see all these hands flying up right now, Chad.
I see it too. I think we're at a point now of having about all the information that we need to make some decisions.
Can I ask one question?
I'm sorry.
May I ask one quick question if you're able to answer it?
Let me just put it to you this way. Do you have something else you'd like to say? That way it gives you an opportunity to ask me a question.
Not say, it's a question.
What's your question, ma'am?
My question is, as Mr. Tolbert just said, that Charles Harris is basically the root of deactivation or activation of what's true. Basically, my question is, with as long as this has gone on, or Mr. Hanner saying we can't take responsibility, is there any specific reason that Charles Harris has not been to one of these meetings, one of these Zoom calls or anything like that?
Well, that happens all the time. We have people who give statements, give their videos. It's as good as being here. So that's all I'll answer you. Okay. All right. Thank you. We are at a point now of coming to some decisions on this situation. Coach Soto, anything else you want to say? Dr. Fields.
Yes, sir. Just real quick. I appreciate what you said, Mr. Colbert. Makes a lot of sense. But I would say this. The rationale behind Coach Soto's decision to mark the PAPF the way that he did was the other questions of, does the student reside outside the attendance zone of the school the student wishes to represent? Are there any members of the family still in the residence that they were previously in? Did the student play on a non-school team and transfer? I think that he used what was on the PAPF to come to that conclusion. I don't think that, and there were other instances as well with postings and stuff like that. But to say that Charles Harris was the reason that he may have came to this conclusion, or not, I think is maybe an overstatement. I'm sorry.
Understand.
Yes, sir. You know, Dr. Fields is correct. I mean, if you read through the PAPF, that's what it's for. It's to do these sorts of things. Unfortunately, we have to market the way we see it. And through the postings, through the talking to other coaches, the collaboration, that's what we felt was necessary. Again, there was 12 kids from our San Antonio area that transferred to San Marcos High School. That is an alarming amount of transfers for a school that size. You check transfers from other schools that are larger, twice the size, you won't see that. So, again, we were in uncharted territory of area coaches, and we had never seen anything like that in the San Antonio area. It may happen in other areas, but it hadn't happened in San Antonio. So we were asking each other as much, trying to find as much information as we could to help us answer the PAPF, because that's the document we have to go by. And when we check those boxes, we don't do it out of spite. We don't do it because we're disgruntled employees. We do it because we're trying to take care of our kids in our programs.
Thank you. Coach Wall, you had your hand up a while. What's your name?
Yes, sir. I just want to give a little clarity to what Mr. Fields was saying about Mr. Harris. So it was incorrect. It was not, he did not get approached at a Judson game. We were playing Wagner High School. He was assigned, to a field, another field. He approached Miss Brittany, who was by herself. He drove over, because in the audio, you can hear him talking to his boss, you know, where the hell you at? And he had to go back to the other field. So he approached Miss Brittany. There was no intimidation whatsoever. I was on a phone call with him and Miss Brittany, and he clarified everything he said. And I know the committee asked which statement is true. I've heard the man speak on confirming the initial transcription, but he was not intimidated by Miss Brittany. He approached Miss Brittany for a conversation.
Okay.
Just wanted to clarify.
We're at a point now to make a decision. Okay. And I'm going to make a comment or two here. The most important piece of this for me today, as we went through this whole process, having digested all this information, having been through the other hearings that we've been through, recognizing the significance of the number of issues that have gone on there and what's happening, the most important piece for me today was the recruitment piece, okay? And it had to do with the conversation that went on, and we've heard about that conversation. We've heard Coach Soto. And for me, very simply, he was talking to one of his kids. Yeah, there was great potential. He was going to, lose that kid, but it was one of his. That's not a violation to do that. And the discussion of whether he used the word, the team name, or he was talking about his kids in those two middle schools. For me, he said, she said, but she wasn't there. It was the kid. And he was talking about, in my book, you talk about keeping your kids together, your team together. I get that. So for me, that piece is the most important one that we've seen. I'll say this as well. We talk about the fact that it was done in bad faith. That was the accusation that was made, the recruiting and for athletic purposes. I understand why there was concern by these folks because of the number of kids that were going there. Finding a parent that will give testimony about being approached, that's been explained. You got lots going on there. Manufactured evidence, the coerced ISD employee, to me, that one is, we got two different versions of that. So I'm just going to say it up front. I don't have any problem with what I've seen out of Coach Soto. That's just my analysis of this thing. Yes, sir, Mr. Colbert.
I would concur with much of what you said. And like I mentioned earlier, I think the root of this is that really got me going in one direction. I read all the documents first before I listened to the audio, and I wasn't happy when I read the documents. And then I listened to the audio, and then I heard Mr. Harris recant his statements. Who knows whether it's here or there. I trust in Superintendent Fields' impressions of what he heard. I would say if I were to find out different later, then I would have a massive problem with Judson ISD. But I would encourage both sides that we need to keep the rivalry on the field and out of the administration office, because it sounds like this has become very personal between two school districts. And I think we need to, someone mentioned earlier, we need to keep our focus on students. And I've been on this committee for many years, and sometimes we see this from time to time where the adults end up having issues with one another, and then we forget about who we're advocating for. So as I stated earlier, for me, Harris was at the center of it. And if that was true, then many of these other things that accusations were being made would also be true. And based on Superintendent Fields' testimony, I'm inclined to believe that, which deactivates some of these other issues for me.
Any other comments from members? All right. It's time to make a decision. And the basic decision is we're going to put it in this format. Do we feel like Coach Soto has violated any of the penalties that have been mentioned here or no? So all those who feel like he has violated any of these penalties that he's been accused of, please raise your right hand. All those who feel like he has not, please raise your right hand. Same sign. It's unanimous. We want to thank all of you for being here. We wish you nothing but the very best as this year starts. And we're going to remove you from the feed and move to our next hearing.
Okay, Chair, I think we have everybody we need for the next hearing. I'll go ahead and bring them in.
Thank you.
Okay, this was everybody that was in our waiting room.
Okay. We're going to move forward with hearing. Oops, let me get my stuff back out here. This is hearing BB. And it is Collinsville High School, Section 1208 I-3, ejection from a contest while on probation, Derek Jenkins. Mr. Beasley?
Coach, Derek Jenkins was ejected from a regional quarterfinal baseball game on May 19th, 2023. Coach Jenkins was previously ejected from a varsity baseball game on April 23rd, 2022. And March 18th, 2023. On March 27th, 2023, the State Executive Committee issued Derek Jenkins a public reprimand, 3-game suspension, and probation until March 27th, 2024.
All right, thank you. We need to ask those who are visiting with us today and part of this hearing to unmute at this time. And we need to make sure your audio is good, and we need to get introductions. So I see Matthew Davenport. I believe you're the superintendent there, Collinsville. Is that correct? I'm not hearing you. Having audio problems. Okay, let's move to our next one. Who do we have the phone number that starts with 903 and ends with a 936?
That's me, Derek Jenkins. I'm out of state right now, and so where we're at doesn't have internet service very well. So this is all only way I could get on.
Not a problem, Coach. Not a problem.
Yes, sir.
We're going to wait on these audio issues to be fixed here so that we can get y'all sworn in.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
No, here in Collinsville, I can't, there you we go. Can't hear anything on our laptop.
We can barely hear you.
We can hear you. Turn my volume up if that helps.
Can you hear us now?
Mr. Chair, I think it was Mr. Davenport who could hear us.
Yeah, that's what he was
Coach Jenkins
saying. I was just asking if he could hear us now. I assume the gentleman with him is probably the athletic director. I don't know.
Should be Coach Patterson. Yes, sir.
Okay.
We can't hear anything.
Not hearing it. Mm-hmm. Can you move? Well, you can't hear me. I don't know why I'm talking to you.
Can you sign in on your phone?
Caroline, can you give them a number to call into?
Yes, sir. I just resent those instructions.
Okay, thanks.
Well, I'm waiting. I got in. I went from left
to 10.
Okay.
Oh, there you go.
Can you hear
us?
Mr. Davenport, can you hear us now?
Yes, sir.
All righty. Mighty good. We're going to begin by getting y'all sworn in. And Caroline's going to do that. If you'll raise your right hand, please.
Please unmute. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you will present is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Let's all understand this is not an appeal today. This is an automatic hearing that's required on an ejection while on probation. And this is Coach's actually his third ejection in the last 13 months, I believe. The most recent prior to this one in May was back in March of this year. And I believe did you come before this committee at that time, or did you just accept your consequences?
We were there. Yes, sir.
Yeah. Okay.
Mr. Chair, he came to us because he was within his probationary period.
Oh, he was already under his. Yeah. It was required then as well.
Yes.
Okay, thank you for that clarity, Mr. Beasley. Okay. We're just gonna start a little bit here. Mr. Davenport.
Yes, sir.
You guys stepped up here during this situation. I know you talked with UI a little bit about some things, but obviously, this is taken very seriously. Ejections are a serious matter. You guys took it seriously as well, and you created some consequences for Coach during this time frame. And if we understand it correctly, for the remainder of the season, he was relegated to the dugout, and AD was the acting head coach. Is that correct?
No, sir. That's originally what our plan was, the regional semifinal series. We did that route. We were contacted. When I say we, Coach Patterson, our athletic director, was contacted the Tuesday after Memorial Day, after that regional semifinals, stating that we needed to seek further consequences or there would be emergency SEC meeting right then. So at that time, we suspended Coach Jenkins from all activities in the baseball operations where he was did not attend practice. He did not attend the three games at the regional finals, and he was not coaching for at the state semifinals.
Very good. And then for 24, you guys have suspended him for a couple of football games, 10 baseball games, and 10 softball. I think he probably assists with the softball. Is that correct?
Did y'all not receive our documentation that we sent on Monday?
Yes, but I'm probably reading something that's older than that. My apologies.
Yes, sir. That was the original one. So when we came back and suspended him for the remainder of the baseball season this year, we just reverted back to 10 baseball games to start the season next year. No practices, okay. No games until we've completed the first 10 games of the season.
Okay, so it's straight 10 right now.
Yes, sir.
Okay, mighty good. What are his coaching assignments?
He is in this. Is he the offensive coordinator? He's an offensive coordinator, football. Of course, you know, we're small 2A school. He helps with high football as well. And then baseball, head baseball coach. He also helped with softball this year. So,
okay. I was at a 2A school for 34 years. So I understand small coaching staffs. And
you do it all.
Putting a lot of hats on. Coach Jenkins.
Yes, sir.
It's obvious, no matter what happened in this last, we'll talk about this last suspension or ejection here shortly, but it's obvious because April 23rd, you got ejected and you were already on probation. You didn't take that very seriously. Is that a good statement?
I wouldn't feel like, no, sir. I mean, I feel like I've taken it serious. The two last year, I hate both of them. I mean, it's been probably the roughest year, I guess, of my life coaching wise, just because, you know, I feel like I've tried to not have confrontation or anything like that. And so it's just been a weird year, and it's pretty taxing right now. Yes, sir.
Well, again, for you having to come to see us in April, or based on an April ejection, and you had already the previous year, a March ejection, I guess. Because the previous year it was in April. I would do everything possible. If it was important to me, I would do everything possible not to be ejected. Do you not follow that way of thinking?
Yes, sir, I do. And I realize the way it looks and all those things, I really feel like I was trying not to. Especially the March ejection, once the way that one kind of happened, I made a point. I haven't griped about anything. I haven't even asked about a call. We even talked as a group kid wise, and I made the comment like, guys, I can't get ejected again. Like it just can't happen, So yes, I do take it serious, and I love what I do. I love the kids. I do. Yes, sir. And I don't really have to say as far as that right now.
Okay. This particular one that we're talking about right now, our opportunity today here is to either overturn that ejection or uphold it. and we'll let you, you've presented a lot of information, you and your superintendent and all, and we've had the opportunity to read that, even though it may appear as though I didn't read that updated consequence thing that you did. We have read all the other things that you sent. Let's talk about some of the accusations that came, and y'all can respond to those. Coach, you can respond to them one at a time for me if you don't mind. Yes, sir. The bench, the left-right bench jockeying situation. Did you respond when you were there was a comment that said you made some comment about apparently my kids cannot have fun?
Well, not exactly. Yes, but no. So when we met Wednesday, our conversation at the plate meeting between Coach Bishop, me, and the umpires was, we realize our dugout's going to have a good time. We want them to. And my comment was, we talked about having a good time. We are having fun. And so, I mean, just looking back at it now, I probably just should have said yes, sir, and went on about my business. And I did not. So I should have.
Okay. So you recognize that as a game goes on, you know this. You've been coaching how long?
21.
You recognize that as things go along, but those kind of things build up. Let's see, the on deck batters not to put balls on the ground, and then you coach, you tossed them one. Would you explain that to us, please, real quick?
So I tossed the ball to the catcher, try to bounce it to him. It's turf. You always bounce it. Well, terrible throw. I wasn't even thinking about it. I haven't done. So I tossed the ball and it skipped and hit him, and he got on to me. He said, "Hey, don't throw it anymore." So from that point, I just, once the play was dead, I just rolled to him on deck. Guy just told him, I said, "If I get a ball, I'll just hold and I'll just roll it to you." And so the toss of the ball was really just a terrible throw that supposed to go to the catcher. It was a bad throw. He looked at me and he kind of stopped and it hit the guy in the shin guards and so it was just a terrible throw.
Okay. When did you disagreeing strikes or balls? Did you say something about it's my fault? Third round, should have known better.
No, sir. Whenever they made the comment to the dugout the second time, I had a coach asking the dugout. I'm not thinking at this point, even after the last ejection, this isn't my fault right here. I'm not thinking the dugout, they're listening a whole lot for me. And the coach asked me, like, what are we going to do? And I said, man, here's the deal. We picked them. We're here. And so there's just nothing we can do. We just got to play. And that's just a statement that I made in the dugout. And the balls and strikes for me I told my superintendent, he called the game while I was there really, really well. Like, my kid at the point that I was there was 70% strikes with 11 strikeouts and no walks. There wasn't a whole lot to gripe about.
So you did make some kind of comment during that time that somebody heard about.
I did.
Strikes or balls.
Yes, I did. And I wasn't meaning it negative at all. I was really just saying it for the fact of we're trying to play the game and let's go. And until I read it, never crossed my mind that anybody else would have heard outside of our dugout.
Yeah. Lesson learned, huh?
Yes, sir. Very much so.
Stating after a strike, did you say that's four? Do you do that? That's four strikes.
So, yes, I did. But I didn't say it. So my own son's on the mound, and he thought it was strike three, and he looks at me from the mound and says, "That's strike three." I say to him, "Just throw a fourth one. Like, who cares? Those strikes, throw a fourth one. Go about your business." Mm-hmm. Once I got the last statement that we sent in, my fault from the last ejection to this one is I didn't, I guess, realize how much people were trying to listen to me at this point, and it's been a very, very good lesson, to be honest with you.
Well, and you do get a reputation, Coach, if you've been ejected, and I know y'all got some information that you provided to us about that your name's been brought up quite a bit by some of the officiating crews and that you may not have the best reputation from at least some people, but let's talk about this, the, the comments about calling out somebody named Cooper and recognize
Cooper Weatherly.
Probably a Cooper on both sides.
Yeah, we have one too. So we play ERA and probably, Patterson can help me more, we probably play them 10 to 12 times a year. So, you know, for us, we actually gain a relationship, you know, kids, coaches, all those things. And I mean, and so we have a Cooper that we actually make the joke about with him, and we do with this kid also. And nothing negative for the kid. The kid is the real deal, you know, and so it's one of those for us, like, again, I guess you don't think about it when guys show up, that they realize how much relationship we have as a group kid-wise.
Yeah.
Because we see each other every day. It's the same with the conversation at the plate meeting with Coach Bishop. You know, he made the comment. We talked and we said, like, if we ever think anybody's out of line this weekend, we're going to say something to each other because we have that good of a relationship. You know, we talk probably every week, to be honest with you. And, you know, and he's in our district and I do anything for him. And so for us, again, not even, I just got to learn to just say, yes, sir.
Yeah.
You know, and just got to learn to say, yes, sir. And that's, you know, and at this point, and I told my superintendent, you know, you've been at a two-way school and, you know, we try to do a good job down here and Coach Bishop does where we let these kids have some fun. Like, I don't have a very big team if they don't have a little bit of fun in the dugout and do some things, because why show up and never get to play? I mean, I've got four or five kids this year who don't get to step on the field. You know, me and Coach Bishop had that talk before we ever got to the series, and we had that talk at the plate meeting, and we both understand it, you know, and so, I mean, a different way to look at it, but I mean, no difference in those guys chanting for my son, daddy's son, you know, and so, and we're okay with that just because it's almost I hate to say it, but it's almost respect thing at some point where they think you're good enough that they know you very, very well. And we see each other every day. And
where you recognize so, that an official.
I should have just said, yes, sir.
Might not.
Yes. I should have.
100%.
And we try to explain it at the plate meeting. And I guess for me, yes, yeah. But yes, I just need to understand they're not there every day. Yes, sir.
Okay, and then the bottom of the fifth, ball runner thrown out at third. This is the one that, you know, had his ears open all the game, but one of your fans said he's had ears open all game, but not his eyes. Tell us what your response was and what the meaning was of it.
So the parent who made the comment was the kid who got thrown out. And so I'm getting on to the kid. He hesitated, runs through a stop sign. So I'm getting on to him as mom is making the comment. My mindset is at this point, like, is she really griping at him or is she griping because I'm griping at her son?
Yeah.
You know, and like my comment really is almost a defensive point. Like, his eyes are fine. Like, and then I did say there's no problem because I'm looking at him and I said, the problem is that we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing. Again, I've got to start thinking a little better. Is my context as far as before that inning even started in our group was because we've got to do some things better. We're just doing things bad here and there that's costing us runs. And then those things happen. And I was talking to her like, hey, like we're fine. And wasn't a bad call. Like, it was as bang, bang as you could get. My guy hesitates, throw is perfect. And, you know, I mean,
when you
really nothing to complain about.
Has been open. His eyes have been open. What did you mean?
Yeah, he's been fine. He called a good game. Like, it's really okay. For me is he hasn't done anything to call a bad game. He called behind the plate on Wednesday, and I thought he did a really good job. And he hasn't missed a call. I mean, be honest with you, I'm not sure they missed one call in the series that we all thought, and it was actually for us.
All right. The you got ejected, and your comment was, hey, is there anything you can do? I'm already in trouble and can't afford to get ejected. You knew what the answer was, didn't you?
Well, yeah, and here's the thing for me. Like, I was almost in shock because in my mind I was so far away from him and I wasn't talking to him. I'm just like, like, what are we, like, in my mind, like, what are we doing at this point? Like, I haven't argued a call in 2 days, and I mean it all. Like, and so I was, yes, very much in shock. Because I mean, when you asked the question earlier, I have literally taken this to as much heart as possible. I've got I have a senior next year and I have a freshman. And so my goal is to coach him as a senior.
Sure. I know that we had a lot of documentation that was sent by you and or your superintendent about some of the folks that were speaking on your behalf on this instance and this situation and all. And we've had the opportunity to read through those, and we appreciate them. They're very helpful as we look at the circumstances. You recognize the difficulty that we have in trying to overturn a decision when you've already admitted in several situations here as we've gone down through these that, hey, I would have done this differently. I wasn't thinking I should have done this a little bit different. You get that?
Yes, sir, 100%.
Okay. I'd like to ask your superintendent his thoughts at this point.
The ejection's the ejection. There's nothing we can do about it. I'm hopeful y'all read the documentation that was sent by the administrator on duty at the playoff game that is non-biased. He's the third party. Is there things that Coach Jenkins could have done differently? Absolutely. Do I think any of them should have led to ejection? I do not. He is yet in any of the reports that I've seen this year. This is my first year here in Collinsville. The first ejection, I was not in Collinsville. The two ejections he's had, there's no reports of yelling at officials. There's no reports of cussing at officials. I also look at it from a school district perspective. If I had a parent that came in here and did what Coach Jenkins did on the baseball field, I can ask them to leave, but I don't have the opportunity to keep them away from the school because they have done nothing that is not in the academics. You know, it's inappropriate for school setting, and it's not threatening. So to me, you know, if it was my position and a parent, it would be hard for me to remove a parent that has done the things that Coach Jenkins has done on a baseball field. And I do think, you know, Coach Jenkins, I've had conversations. The conversation we had, I asked Coach Jenkins, I said, is your behavior this year on the field towards officials different? He said, absolutely, 100%. I've got two school board members that have sons that played. I asked them in our last school board meeting specifically, I said, is Coach Jenkins different this year than he was last year towards officials? And they said, 100%. He's 100% better. So some of that, you know, is a bleeding over from last year. You know, they're coming into ball games kind of on edge, and anything that, you know, kind of gets them going the wrong way, or are they, you know, quick on the gun. So that's, like I said, there's things we can all do differently every day. You know, we question what our decisions we make, but.
Well, and Coach, your time and your actions in the future are going to dictate whether, people are going to continue to come in and look at you in that manner. It's just going to be about who you are and what you do as far as how you behave. I want to know if we have any questions or comments from any of our other committee members at this time. Okay. Yes, Mr. Colbert.
I would just say that for the amount of time that I've served on this committee, I don't know that I've ever had a coach come to us a third time, Jer. And I'm not sure if we're here to dispute whether he should have gotten ejected or not, or what the potential consequences are for being ejected a third time.
Well, we have the right to overturn the ejection, or to uphold the third ejection and then assess some other penalties. That's why we're here.
Okay.
Can I speak again?
Yes, you sure can.
So on the appeal for ejections, it was a Tuesday after Memorial Day because I was on vacation. I called Mr. Fitch down at Paso and, you know, I asked for an appeal. little should I have known, I probably should have gone to the chapter first. So within the last week and a half, I've tried to talk to our chapter. I left two voice messages with the president chapter. He texted me back, said he's backed up, and emailing. So I emailed him. I've emailed him a couple times. I've yet to got a response. There's some other things going on that y'all have read about. I called another chapter president. He spoke with me right away. So, you know, that's okay. Some of the discussions we're having is it's hard to have appeals or any dialogue when the chapter won't respond to you.
Understand. Dr. Harrison.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have a couple of questions. Coach Jenkins, you mentioned, I wrote it down, you tried not to have confrontation this year. The superintendent just supported that, saying you've been very different on the field. Are these the two ejections? Are those the only two instances you've had where you've had trouble with umpires? Have there been any dugout restrictions or anything like that?
I did have a dugout restriction. This is early in the year, and we just had a disagreement about where our guys stand, and the guy came down and approached me, and we talked for a little bit, and I did get restricted, yes, sir. I just don't want to listen anymore. Yes, sir, and we were done.
Just the one dugout restriction?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so again, you got ejected last year on probation. You got ejected, got restricted to the bench, so a near ejection, but got out of that one. Then the other ejection. I guess my question is, what do you think's happening? I mean, if you genuinely believe you have changed your behavior, is this an umpire conspiracy to do something with you? Not changed as much as you thought?
Even before the comment that was made to a guy we sent in, I made a comment to my superintendent. I said, I've upset somebody at some point that's causing some of these issues. Like, I don't know who I've upset, but I've upset somebody, which is, and then I get the message from a guy about the umpire that he called the president of that chapter, and got our superintendent called. And so I do feel like there's been some things there where he has put a target on me. Yes, I do. And the thing is, for me at this point, the luxury of it is now is like, I know it's there. Even talking to the president of that chapter and visiting him, and hopefully he visits with the guy who's done it, is I know moving forward, I'm going to have to change that mindset for those guys who have still heard it. And that's just truly what I believe at this point. And, you know, and as much as you'd like to change what somebody said, hopefully we're going to be able to try to change I just got to change with how I do. I just know that, you know, when I read this report, I never even thought about those things in this last one, because I wasn't griping at them at all. I've just got to be conscious the whole time about even what I say to my kids and how those guys are going to take it. I mean, that's just what I've got to do. And I could always sit here and tell you, I hope they change, but at the end of the day, I can't control them. I can only control me.
And Mr. Superintendent, you mentioned you felt like some of the umpires came in a little quick on the trigger.
That's just perception. That's what I'm going to assume or perceive, because, like I said, behavior had changed. I've been told it's changed from the previous year.
Well, I guess my recommendation to both of you would be this: is coach, if you believe a target is there, and your words were, I know it's there, and yes, superintendent, if you believe they're a little quick on the trigger, you really need to work on not giving them any reason to pull that trigger.
Yes, and we've talked about that.
We work
already
with a lot of coaches across the state, and as Mr. Colbert said, somebody who's been ejected 3 times in 13 months, twice in the same year, I don't know that I've ever heard of that. It has possibly happened at some point in UIL's more than century old history, but if it has, I haven't heard of it. So there's something here that needs to be addressed, and just, you know, be cognizant of it and do what you can to get through it and change that reputation.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
I
would just add to that. I believe you've got two sons playing for you. Is that right, Coach Jenkins?
I will next year. Yes, sir.
Yeah. I know you want to coach them. And
yes, sir.
If you wind up here again, you may not be coaching them. And you need to put that first and foremost in your mind, because I know that's a special relationship, something you're looking forward to. But because of what has happened with your record of ejections, don't jeopardize the opportunity for that relationship with your two sons and the opportunity to coach them. Because if there's a four-time, I believe that will be a record for this committee to see somebody in here on a four-time. So keep that in mind.
I can tell you guys that there won't be a four-time. I can promise you that.
Anything else?
Chairman Motherall, this is a raise of PETA. Can I ask Coach Jenkins a question?
Sure.
Yes, sir.
Looking through the documentation, and I might have this wrong, so I'm just asking you, Coach, or your superintendent to clarify, were all of these ejections and bench restrictions coming from one chapter, or were there multiple chapters involved with these incidents?
So
there are multiple chapters. That's not something I really want to discuss, you know, out here and the public domain. It's a discussion for away from everybody else. But
I wanted to discuss it. I wanted to ask that question because I just wanted to be clear.
So myself. The guy, I'll answer it for you. The guy that the statement came from runs a organization for the summer, and he deals with all the chapters in Northeast Texas, and those guys work for him in the summertime. So one was Collin County. The other one, I think, was Wichita Falls. And so the Collin County, I think, were both of them. And, you know, I think there was a deal sent, you know, a text message about them not liking me, but I think one of them is probably going to pick us up.
Yep. If you, last question I have, and then I don't want to hold the committee up. If one of your athletes had an issue in three different classes and those three teachers had come to you and had talked about their misconduct, and he said, tells you that he feels like he was targeted, what would you tell that athlete?
You know, one, I mean, for me, and we do this all the time, is we're going to go talk and visit with him, or we're going to go talk and visit with the people who've done it. And we've started that process. You know, that's going to be number one for us. If it feels to being targeted, we're going to have a conversation with us, him, me, and the teacher that he feels like it is, or the teachers, you know, and that's where we're going to start. And then we're going to kind of make that decision from there, whether it is. And so after we got this information from the last one, we have started that process. The superintendent has, as far as starting those things.
Yeah. I do want to commend,
which is also why.
Yeah. I want to commend Collinsville ISD though, for their remediation plan that they submitted to test. So I was able to review that, and I appreciate what you guys have put down as a plan to work holistically on sportsmanship in your district. So thank you for that. And I want to make mention of that publicly.
Thank you.
Yes, sir, Dr. Teal.
Mr. Chair, question for Coach Jenkins, and then I want to follow up after that. But I need I have a point of clarification for the very last thing that occurred prior to this last ejection was this comment about sorry, I'm glancing my notes right quick.
Eyes being open, maybe?
Yeah, about the eyes being open. And so the testimony on the umpire's side says that you stated that's the problem, his eyes have been open. And I think I heard you state differently. Will you state for this committee exactly what you said? And did you include that's the problem ahead of your statement?
No, I said his eyes are open. And then I said the problem is, and I'm talking to my dugout, like, because I'm still, the kid who got out is still beside me as we're walking. And I've rolled to him, like, and so, I mean, I guess a terrible wording, but.
Okay.
I wasn't upset. Like, even when he made the call, I mean, I was right there beside him. Like, there was, I guess for me, there's no argument. Like, he makes the call. I reach down, I pick some sunglasses up, I give them to the third baseman, and I roll around to my guy, and we continue to discuss the decision that he made. And then Mom made the comment, and so,
yeah,
like, right. You know, does that make sense?
It does. And I appreciate you sharing that. I do want to say, as a superintendent of a smaller school district represented on this committee, I fully appreciate everything the small schools are doing. You wear lots of hats, and all of these parents that we're referring to are folks you see around town and probably go to church with and see at every event. You're late spring, and though the frustrations are high, so we'll all acknowledge that that's a thing. But it does sound like, just listening in, one of the things we all struggle with in any school environment, but I know small schools in particular, is just the culture that's established at our athletic events. And so it sounds like everything that Mr. Zepeda referenced just earlier about Collinsville addressing, that you're trying to rein that in and address some things. I do applaud Collinsville administration for that. But ultimately, it sounds like we have a culture issue within that program, and that starts with leadership. I know, again, administration's trying to lean into that, and coach, it sounds like you need to lean into that as well. And that involves working with your parents. We know late spring, you can't control everything. It's going to come out of everybody's mouth, especially mamas from the stands when their baby's called out at third base. So we understand that.
Well,
my thoughts were, I think it's something that you need to address within your program. Ultimately,
well, my thoughts were,
for the second coach, I do want to say, just for the committee's sake, that I do feel like there wasn't adequate effort late season after an earlier suspension in the spring from Coach Jenkins to steer clear of any other further suspension or ejection or issues with this committee. And that's kind of where I'm standing at this point. All thanks.
Right. Thank you. Okay, it's time to make a decision. Let me make my comment. I do want to commend the superintendent for what you're trying to do there as far as the things that have been discussed on environment and making sure that your folks do what they're supposed to do. And especially also on the consequences, because the fact that you've already given them, and I think what you told us is it landed at a 10 game suspension in baseball. Is that correct?
10 more included. What's already happened at the end of this season? Yes, sir.
10 additional.
Yes.
That's what you're saying. Yeah. That goes a long ways toward what we might do as far as consequences are concerned. Coach, the thing I would say to you is do not come back here in yes, these sir. Circumstances. You do everything that you have yes, to do. And in reality, it's something you ought to already be doing. You know, your job is to model for these kids who they ought to be. And in a society we live in today, they need good models, and they need people who are yes, positive and uplifting and want to do things right and want to speak to people appropriately. And all the things that you expect out of them, your community and your superintendent are expecting out of you. Do not come back, because yes, I promise you, if you do, I will commit to you, there will be lengthy suspension coming your way.
Yes, sir.
Okay. It's time to make a decision, and you know, it's to either overturn the ejection, which I don't think anybody here feels like that's an appropriate response, uphold and assess some consequences. I think the fact that we've got a school district that's already assessed some good consequences are going to be a factor here. For me, you know, the automatic penalty is reprimand and 1 year's probation. I'm going to suggest that we stick with that, a portion of that, and go to, let's just call it 2 years of probation, and or just, that's my suggestion. And then You know, does anybody feel like we need to add additional games? Yes, Mr. Colbert.
Well, I do commend the district for taking some administrative action. I think we should formally, regardless of what action they take, even if it's the same, I'd like it stated on record that we formally have suspended someone of games too. For me, as a committee member, we are in uncharted territory. And we've had discussions of what it may look like if there was a fourth time. I've sat on this committee and had discussions of what it would look like on the third time. Yes, and so now we're here. And so I think that we are, this is unprecedented. If we are to agree that he was removed for the game for reasonable reasons, then the question is what is the appropriate consequence for someone who's been ejected three times?
Mm-hmm.
My big question, having never worked in a small district like this, I've worked in a 3A district, is are consequences, should they be scaled because of the implications of how it impacts students or whatever? But I think that we need to take a significant stance here. Anytime a coach is ejected three times, I mean, this is a pet peeve of mine. I just can't even fathom it. So I think we should take formal action on that. I would need assistance on suggestions of what that looks like.
Okay. The consequences that we have, it would be length of a number of games missed, I think is what you're talking about. Is that correct?
Sir. And so then, Chair, I think the question would be is, are we suspending him from athletic participation or just specific for baseball? Because I know there are some suspensions for the upcoming football season, and there's some softball and this, that, and the other.
Well, there were originally, but that they've removed those, and all he's doing now is 10 games in baseball. Yes, sir, Mr. Superintendent.
For all the committee members, I just want to make them aware our baseball team was in the state tournament this year.
Uh-huh.
And the coach was not able to play, to coach the regional finals and in the state tournament. To me, if I'm a coach, that equates to significant. I mean, that might be just as much of a punishment as a whole regular season to me, because that is your goal as a coach. My kid's on the mound. So missing that's pretty significant. And I just want to point that out to the committee members that it was the state tournament that he was suspended.
Well, thank you. Dr. Harrison, you had a question?
I'm going to follow up what Superintendent said. So if I understand, and I'm pretty sure I do, the consequences that the school has imposed, it totals 14 games. So that's a half a season, roughly. And I would say, it's the committee's decision on how many games to go. I just want to make sure the committee's clear on where we're starting. The school has already imposed a 14-game suspension, and four of those games were state semifinals and state tournament games, regional finals and state tournament games that probably do carry a little more weight to them than a regular season game. So if whatever the committee decides to go with, just remember what we start with. It's 14 games, four of which were very late round playoff games.
Okay. Thank you. Mr. Colbert, your response after hearing all these?
Yeah, I think that's impactful to me. We're just now getting to this case, but there were some discipline measures implemented immediately following the ejection. So that helps me. And I commend the district for what they've done. I just want us to have in UIL record, because we will talk about our precedence manual.
Yes, we do.
Where we have to determine scope and scale if we do get another one that's ejected for a third time or we're headed to a fourth. We may not see what the district took a year from now.
Good point.
We'll see our actions.
Yes, Dr. Colwell.
Yeah, I think we've come to a point where we can make a decision, but I do want to commend the superintendent. The suspension for the regional finals, the state tournament, was a pretty gutsy move. Okay. And I'm sure that impacted some parents and some other folks in his school community. So thank you for bringing that up. Mr. Chairman, what's the motion?
You making a motion?
I am making a motion that we uphold the suspension.
The uphold the ejection, and obviously, and the assess a penalty of the 10 games, and which mirrors what the school is doing. Is that correct? And obviously there will be an automatic penalty of a public reprimand. What do we say, 2 years probation or three?
2 years probation.
How many?
Two.
Two, okay. Is that the motion?
Yes.
Okay.
Can I ask a question, please?
Just a second. Do I have a second?
I second that motion.
Mr. Colbert seconds it. Now I'll take a question.
Let me ask you this question. So in our report, it's 10 games in practice. Can we make it 3 years probation? Let me practice with them so we can get going with those guys?
No, sir. No bargaining today. No bargaining today.
Okay, I'm just asking.
You don't get to choose your consequences, Coach.
I'm just
all in favor, please raise your right hand of the motion. It is unanimous. Coach, go get after them, but do it in the right way, all right? And
yes, sir.
Mr. Davenport, hope y'all have a blessed year, okay?
Thank you, sir. Thank y'all. Right. We appreciate y'all.
All right.
Thank you much.
Okay, let's see. Goodness. Do we have any new business?
No, sir.
All right. Any announcements?
No, sir.
All right. Hey, thanks to staff and hey, committee members. Great job today. We'll see you soon down the road. I'm sure at this point, we're going to adjourn this meeting.
Thanks to all of you.
Thank you. See y'all.